which would lead us to CWD regulation.
Hey, Mr. Chair, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator, again, for the audience listening. On page 79 would be an action sheet titled Hunting Requirements and Prohibited Methods. As Mr. Chair indicated, these are rules pertaining towards our transportation and disposal regulations for chronic wasting disease. Mr. Chair, if I can, just some supportive information on why we have these rules in place to begin with and some justification for the recommended changes here. Exposure to an area where a CWD-positive animal or carcass has decomposed could simply be enough to cause infections of cervix, and that's from some information from a paper by Saunders et al. From 2012. This unnatural dispersal of CWD-infected carcasses by hunters, we're not picking on hunters here, but we could unintentionally be transmitting CWD across the state by moving and improperly disposing of carcasses from the location of a harvested animal in an infected area to an uninfected area, and that is obviously a concern. This concern is valid even with carcass movement amongst infected areas between hunting units, as prevalence rates likely can vary spatially amongst and even between hunting units. Due to this risk of potential environmental contamination, it is important that the carcasses of cervids possibly infected with CWD, including all bones and other waste from taxidermy and butchering, be disposed of in a way that protects uninfected cervids and new uncontaminated areas from exposure to CWD. So the justification for these recommendations that we have for you here today to discuss is, I believe, and we believe as a department, to simplify the regulations we currently have for hunters and other stakeholders such as taxidermists and game processors. We want to implement regulations that are proactive versus right now we're being very reactive to our regulations to reduce the spread of CWD. As new areas become detected or confirmed with CWD, we are constantly have changing expectations on our hunters the way our rules are currently written. And we want to provide hunters the option to transport their harvested deer or elk, their trophies to their choice of a game processor, to their choice of taxidermist, or the location of where they want to do their private processing and taxidermy work by regulating the disposal of carcass parts. So, Mr. Chair, back to page 79, I'm just going to go through our recommended changes for you. So the current one there would be a current rule where rule defines a CWD endemic area. And based on the recommended changes we have for you here today, this rule would no longer be necessary. We would recommend repealing this rule. This will not say that we will not inform hunters and other stakeholders of where CWD has been detected. We will still absolutely continue to do that. It just removes identifying or defining what a CWD endemic area is in rule. Mr. Chair, the second recommended change down there has to do with the interstate carcass movement or transportation and disposal requirements. So a hunter from South Dakota hunting, say, in Idaho and bringing a carcass back into South Dakota. We want to simplify that language. It doesn't really change much for the requirements, but we believe it simplifies it. So you will see there our recommended rule would be for interstate movement and disposal would be unless delivered to a licensed taxidermist or game processor, anyone transporting whole or partial cervid carcasses from another state into South Dakota shall dispose of all remaining cervid carcass parts with a waste management provider or a permanent landfill. We think that's pretty black and white. Whole or partial carcass parts being transported through the state, say you're a hunter from Wisconsin that killed a deer or elk in Idaho and you're traveling through South Dakota, this rule would not apply to you if you are simply transporting and driving through South Dakota. You would be exempt from this section. What this does is it simplifies it. It removes the word domicile in there, which would simply free it up a little bit for you to take your deer or elk to, say, your friend's or brother-in-law's garage. If that's where you want to do your processing, you would not have to take that deer home. This would allow you to take that carcass anywhere to do that processing. The end result is those carcass parts would have to be disposed of with your garbage container, your waste management provider, or a permitted landfill. So that would be for interstate movement and disposal. Mr. Chair, the next recommended rule change there has to do with intrastate cervid carcass transportation restrictions. Based on the recommended changes that we will further discuss with you here today, this rule would no longer be necessary, and we can turn the page and see how that would be blended in with another rule. So we would recommend repealing this existing rule, Mr. Chair. On to page 80, at the top there, we have a recommended tweak to that existing rule where this would now be listed as intrastate cervid carcass transportation and disposal requirements. So if I'm Commissioner Locken from Brown County and I'm hunting in Corson County, this would apply to Commissioner Locken or anybody else. I'm just picking on you, John. Unless delivered to a licensed taxidermist or game processor, anyone transporting whole or partial cervid carcasses, the key here is from the county of harvest, shall dispose of all remaining cervid carcass parts with a waste management provider or permitted landfill. We feel that's pretty simple rule. We went with the county here in that language, as some units encompass multiple counties, such as our West River Prairie Elk unit, and some units are very, very small in compared to their size of a county, or they may only be a few square miles in size. So we felt that if you're a hunter that's removing that deer or elk from the county of harvest, you can absolutely certainly do that. You just have to remove or dispose of any carcass parts with a garbage container or a permitted landfill. Unless you're taking that carcass to a taxidermist or game processor, then it's going to be a requirement of that business to dispose of that carcass parts for you. Moving on to the 4106.03.19, this would be carcass disposal requirements for wildlife processing facilities. We just simplified this rule here. I think it reads pretty black and white. Regardless of where an animal would come from being harvested, that wildlife processor would have to dispose of all remaining carcass parts with their garbage container or a permitted landfill. This would not apply to processors that are already licensed by another state or federal regulatory authority, and they would have to follow the conditions of that license. And lastly, when we come down here to carcass disposal for taxidermists, it simply would now state that a taxidermist shall dispose of all remaining cervid carcass parts with a waste management provider or a permitted landfill. You know, I'm visiting with a lot of our staff, both biological and law enforcement staff, that helped out with this discussion and helped out with the language you see here today. We have pretty strong support for what we're bringing forward to you here for consideration. So other than the disposal requirements, nothing in these recommended rules would prohibit a hunter from transporting, moving a deer or elk anywhere, including to their choice of a game processor, a taxidermist, or their location of private processing of that animal. We feel this really simplifies the rules. We're not going to be chasing new endemic areas. It would put some new regulations on hunters where we currently don't have CWD. So if you're from Aberdeen and you hunt deer in Dade County, if you take that animal out of Dade County, you would now have a disposal requirement placed upon you on that. We want to put this out for public comment, Mr. Chair. We want to see what our hunters are going to think about this. We will be reaching out if this does move forward as recommended or some variety of that. We will be reaching out and informing our stakeholders of these proposed changes. We want to hear from them and make sure they're informed of them and get their feedback. And obviously any changes made with you through this rule process, we'll be working with our communication staff, with Chris and Nick and company, and really working on a good marketing campaign to make sure these changes are made aware to those users. So with that, Mr. Chair, I know that's a lot to go over, but I think on paper it's pretty simple and black and white, but we'd sure like to hear any comments you might have on these recommendations.
Thanks, Chad. So unfortunately, we have to deal with this, but I think those are all real solid recommendations and changes. Any comments or questions from the commission?
Quick question.
Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm paying over this. I had to get more discussion as well. On the stakeholders, I'm assuming taxidermists and meat processors also were intended, but anyway, just to clarify that.
Commissioner Whitmire, can you repeat that again?
Yeah, in reaching out to stakeholders, I'm assuming that taxidermy folks and meat processors were also included in who the people we'd be reaching out to for comment.
Commissioner Whitmire, absolutely. Since we license all of the taxidermists within the state, just like we've done through this whole process, we will be reaching out to them via either email directly from me or through a department letter mailed to them. We will work with the Animal Industry Board to ensure that we are getting information out and sharing that with the processors. We've worked with the Department of Revenue to try to identify any other business out there that might be related towards the business of processing game or venison. And then we're even going to go above and beyond and reach out to the list of garbage hauling companies and permitted landfills in the state, and working with our Department of Environment and Natural Resources to ensure that those folks are aware of whatever changes come out of this, or at least out of the proposal here today. Yes.
Thank you. I assume that was the case. Chad, you've been very thorough, but just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments?
I moved ahead.
All right. There's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you. Been moved and second. Further discussion or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. That gets us, I believe, through the finalizations and proposals. So that leaves tomorrow for us to pick up on any action items and information items, as well as further reports. So before we adjourn, I would echo what John, you said, that Chad always does a great job in presenting us information and getting us the right information, but I would also include the rest of the Game Fish and Parks staff. You guys always go over and above to help the commission get the information we need, answer our questions, and sometimes we ask the same question several different ways and several different times, but you guys are just the best that I've ever worked with, and I appreciate all you do for us. So great job to everybody in Game Fish and Parks. You really help us do a good job up here. So thank you for all you do for us. And having said that, if there's nothing else for the good of the cause, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
Second, and I'm going to assume an affirmative vote on that. We will stand adjourned.